I'm glad Pastor introduced me as Lawson Rock and not Jose Gomez. Well, that's my name when I'm in St. Louis. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. If you're saved this morning, say amen.
Amen.
If you're happy to be in the house of the Lord, say amen.
Amen.
If you love your pastor, say amen.
Amen.
That's good. I'm so happy to see that you love your pastor, you love your church. And I'm sure the Lord has blessed his ministry that goes all over the world. And when you have such a big ministry, you have a lot of enemies too. And I hope you stand by him and pray for him and encourage him. And I hope you don't smile on his face, go back and talk back bad about him. That happens all over, but I don't think you do that. I believe that you love your pastor. And I know that you'll stand with him as long as the Lord keeps you all together here until the Lord comes to take us home. Amen? Amen. Just a little bit about myself, and then we will get into the Word of God. And I'm so thankful that the Lord allowed me. It was his mercy that he allowed me to get to know the ministry of Pastor Mike Hoggett. And as I was studying about the King James Bible, I came across Pastor Mike online, and then I watched the video, the King James Code. It just blew my mind off, and like, wow, it just opened up the world to me. The Bible became more and more interesting and more lively, and I got in touch with him, and since then, it's been 7-8 years, since then. The Lord has allowed us to be friends, and he's been very kind and generous to me, and I love him very much. I remember many years ago, I went to Hyderabad in a jungle to minister. I have a ministry with the people who live in the jungles there, and while on the way, I lost my camera, and I had no picture. So when I came back from the ministry, and I wrote what the Lord did in the jungles, I had no pictures to send. So I wrote, and Pastor Mike actually sent a camera for me. But, in India, it's so corrupted. When people come to know you have some device inside the parcel, they steal it. And so I didn't receive the camera. But God has been good. God showed me that this man loves me, that he was willing to send something for me. Amen? And I was born in a very poverty background. Poverty, you know what it is, extremely poor, no food, no clothing, very poor. My mom and dad were very poor, and I grew up in an orphanage because my parents could not take care of our needs, and education was not possible, so they put me in an orphanage. And I grew up in an orphanage all my life, away from my parents, and while I was in the orphanage, I began to watch the Catholic priest, and that's all I knew. And we were staunch Roman Catholics. 5 o'clock in the morning every Sunday, we were in the church as a Catholic. If you were a Catholic before you got saved, you know that. And we were in the church for the Mass at 5 o'clock every Sunday. And we were staunch Catholics, and I wanted to be a Roman Catholic priest. And at the age of 16, I began to, write to the seminaries, there were about 3 seminaries in India that wanted me to come and join their seminaries to become a priest. And the paperwork were going on. In a couple of weeks later, I was supposed to join the seminary. That's when a man came to our home. And he was sharing the gospel to my mom. And I had just come from the college, and I was tired, and I was not at all interested in these so-called believers who believe in the Bible, believers who believes in the Lord Jesus Christ, and who believe that salvation is by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. I didn't want anything to do with them, because I believed what my church taught, that all roads leads to Rome. But thank God, that is true. All roads leads to Rome. Yeah. But there is only one way that leads to heaven. Yeah. And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh to the Father but by me. And this man was sharing the gospel to my mom, and he quoted from John chapter 14, verse number 6. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. And for the first time ever in my life, in the year 2000, January 21st, it's about 6:30. While I was with a cup of water, I was having a drink, I overheard John chapter 14, verse number 6, quoted. He was sharing the gospel to my mom, but the Holy Ghost got hold of me. I was on my knees, weeping like a baby, feeling, understanding the smell of my sin. I cried unto God and said, Lord, I'm sorry, I'm a sinner. Lord, I understand that you are the one true God who became man for myself. You came into this world and died for me by shedding your precious blood for me. You were buried and you rose again on the third day for me. And I believed and received the Lord Jesus Christ that day. And he made me his child. He made me the Son of God. And I thank God. Since then, that day, my life changed. The Lord just, you know, the Lord said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. I was born in a slum. A slum is a place unhygienic, dirty, living in a small little hut made of coconut leaves. And that was my life that I grew up in. But God changed everything for us. God took care of us. You know, the Bible says, I have not seen a righteous with a begging bowl. You know, young lions may lack food, but they that seek the Lord will lack nothing. And the Lord took care of me, and I got saved in the year 2000, January 21st. And a week later, I was able to lead my mom to the Lord. And then I was able to lead my older brother to the Lord. And then I was able to lead my sister to the Lord. And I went to a Bible college that ruined my faith in the scripture. But there was a little book in between many books in the library that I picked up, and that there was just 5 pages that actually said, the King James Bible is the perfect word of God. Amen. And then the all other versions comes from a corruptible manuscript, from a corrupt tree. And from there my journey began. And I started studying more about the word of God, and I came to know your pastor and the other people, and the Lord just began to work in my life. And in the year 2007, I graduated from the Bible college. I lied to them to get my certificate, because one of the answers that I had to give is, they asked, the Bible, it was a King James Bible, the Bible that you hold in your hand, is it inspired? And according to the college, the right answer was, no, it is not the word of God. It contains the word of God. There's a lot of difference, right? Contains the word of God. No, even a cheek track contains the word of God. But it is not the word of God. It's the King James Bible, which is the word of God. And I graduated, came home, and knocked on doors for 3 months. The Lord gave me 5 souls. With 5 souls and 4 broken chairs, I was able to start a church service in my mom's living room. And since then, the Lord blessed our ministry. And today, I pastor 3 churches in Goa. Morning 7 o'clock is our first service. And then 10 o'clock in a different location, our second service. And then in the third service, in the south of Goa, the third location at 4 o'clock. And the Lord blessed me with a wife and 2 kids, and together we serve the Lord. And my desire was that I want many more churches to be planted that believes in the Bible. And so the Lord put it in my heart to start a Bible college. And we have a Bible college today, and we send out about 21 graduates in the mission field, and they are serving the Lord. If you have a church already planted and taking care, and they are pastoring churches there. And we are working with the slum children. When I started, I was reading the book of D.L. Moody, and I read that D.L. Moody actually started the ministry working with the children, with the slum children. And he was able to lead many children to the Lord. And I read that. And the Lord burdened my heart. And there was a burning desire in my heart to work with the children that actually I came out of. And I said, I'm going back to the slum. And I brought the children to my mom's home. And I said, I'm going to teach you English. I'm going to teach you the lessons in the school for free of cost. And the only fees that you have to pay to me is that you should come for Sunday school. And so I started having these children. Today we work with about 80 to 100 children from the slum. And God gave us a property now. And I want to help the orphan kids and destitute and the street children. And help them, bring them, give them food, education, shelter. And above all, preach the gospel and raise them for the Lord Jesus Christ, the next generation. We cannot just keep quiet. We need to train up leaders, and we can do that by training up the children. Train up the child when they are young, and because when they will grow old, they'll not depart from it. And so that's what we are doing. God has given us a property. Before I came, I laid a stone called faith stone, not foundation stone. You lay foundation stone when you have money to construct. And so we don't have. So I said, Lord, I'm going to lay a faith stone and trusting that you will do something. If you have given the property, you will give the finance to build the building. And so we just laid by faith. And God, I believe that God will do mighty works. For the last 12 years, here God has been blessing our work. And today, three times a day, I'm able to preach the gospel through the television and reaching 180,000 people there. And we preach three times a day. And the people are, you know, God is using that. We have several Hindus and Muslims who called up and say, thank you. And people got saved. One of my neighbors is a Muslim. And she got saved by listening to watching the television preaching. Well, I'm not a television preacher like the charismatics do. They spend 15 minutes asking for money. But in our television, if you ever see, never, ever I've asked people for money or not anything scrolls down. And the Lord still kept me on the TV for the last 5 years preaching the gospel. If it is a ministry of faith, then God is willing to provide. And God has been doing the same thing. God has been blessing. And I tell people, I'm living a life of miracle every day. And God is blessing. Because you know what, dear friend? When you hold on to this book, and you preach this book, and you believe this book, God will bless your life. And we are going to see that today. If you're with me, turn your Bible to the book of Exodus chapter 1. Book of Exodus chapter 1. And we're going to see verse number 1 through 22. And the subject, the title of my message today is the Old King James Bible versus the New King James Bible. The Old King James Bible versus the New King James Bible. And since it's a long chapter, 22 verses, I don't think I'm going to read all that for you. But we will go through that as we see. I do not know how long I have, Pastor, if you can tell me.
No.
Okay. My mother-in-law calls me, I'm a long-winded preacher. So, Exodus chapter 1, and we are going to see that today and see how the Lord blesses. And shall we close our eyes and ask the Lord to bless the message today? Our dearest, loving Heavenly Father, how wonderful it is to be in your house today with your beautiful children, saved by the grace of God, washed by the blood of Christ. We thank you that we are binded together with one book, one faith, one Lord, and one baptism. We thank you, God, that you are doing an amazing work here in the lives of and ministry of Pastor Mike Hogan and this church, the Bethel Church. We thank you for what you're doing. And today, as we look into your word, please speak to our hearts, O God. Give us a receptive heart and an alert mind. And, O Lord, I pray that you will cover me behind thy cross so that Jesus Christ may be glorified and thy word be magnified. In Jesus' sweet name we pray. And all God's people said,
Amen.
Amen. Verse number 1 onwards. Now these are the names of the children of Israel. And by the way, my son's name is Israel. My oldest son is Israel. Which came into Egypt, every man and his household came with Jacob. Reuben and Simeon, Levi and Judah, Issachar, Zebulun and Benjamin, Dan and Naphtali, Gad and Aser, and all the souls that came out of the loins of Jacob were 70 souls, for Joseph was in Egypt already. And Joseph died, and all his brethren, and all that generation. Now you know that story. Joseph was already in Egypt, and God used him to prepare a posterity for the people of Israel who came in Egypt during the time of famine. Under the rule of Joseph, as Joseph was the governor there, he was a ruler. Under the rule of Joseph, we see God prospering. And whatever Joseph did, everything the Lord prospered, the Lord blessed it. And we see what happened when there was an old king. If you read in verse number 8, there is a new king. And I call that as a new King James Bible. And there is an old king. There's something that happens under the old King James Bible. And there is something that happens under the new King James Bible. In verse number 8, you see, now. Now, it's not just about when it happened thousands of years ago. It is also the same now. When the Bible says now, it means now. The Greek word for now is now. Amen? That's easy. So we don't need a Greek and Hebrew lessons to learn a language. When we have the Bible, it just tells what God's heart is. And so if the Bible says now, it means now, today, now, at this very moment. Now there arose up a new king over Egypt, which knew not Joseph. There was a new king that arose, and that new king did not know Joseph. That's what is happening in the Bible today, so-called Bible. When you have new versions today, they do not know the Word of God. They take off the words from the Word of God. They change the Word of God. They do not know God. The new versions do not magnify God. Like in the first Timothy chapter 3 verse number 16, we read, and God was manifest in the flesh. But the new versions will change and say, he was manifest in the flesh. Now who is he? It could be you, it could be me, it could be Shiva, it could be Buddha, it could be Muhammad. But the Bible says that God was manifest in the flesh. And that is the Lord Jesus Christ. God was manifest in the flesh. So, this new versions do not know God. They take you away from God. And that's why today the churches are filled with sin. That's why there are many churches today who are okay with yoga, who are okay with Kundalini spirit that comes from the eastern countries. And India sends such bad spirits to America, and American churches today are embracing such false doctrines. Why? Because the Bibles are new. The Bibles, these Bibles do not know God anymore. But what happens under the old Bible? What happens under the old, the authorized King James Bible? Look at verse number 7. And the children of Israel, now this is before the new king came. This is when when God inspired and gave and published the Bible word by word. And verse number 7 says, and the children of Israel were fruitful and increased abundantly and multiplied and waxed exceeding mighty, and the land was filled with them. When you look and study the history of the King James Bible, and when it was published in 1611, you just study about the history, how God, through this book, spread revival around the world.
Amen. Right.
You see how the revival fire swept in England and in America and Scotland and Canada. And then you see how missionaries went out with this book and preached the gospel and planted churches and won souls. And that's how when William Carey came to India, he did not come with the New King James Version. He did not come with the New International Version. He did not come with the New American Standard Version. He came with the King James Bible. And he came and he studied the language and he translated from the King James Bible and the perfect manuscript into all the vernacular languages of India. That's what William Carey did. And today, the Bible Society of India, working hand in hand with the Roman Catholics, are taking away our Bibles and putting those corrupted Bibles on the pews. And they don't know God. The new Bibles do not know God. They do not know the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why when you read the Bible, you see in the King James Bible where God, Jesus is called as the morning star and Lucifer is called as the son of the morning. And in the New International Version, the son of the morning is described as Jesus Christ, and the morning star is described as Lucifer. Because they do not know God. They do not know Jesus Christ. And so, when you stick with your authorized Bible, your King James Bible, what God is going to do is, He's going to bless your church. He's going to bless your family. He's going to make you fruitful. He's going to make you strong and exceedingly great. You know, our church is not a big church, but yet our church is very strong and powerful. Amen. Because that's what happens when you preach and believe and teach from the Word of God. Amen. Just 4 days ago, I got a call from a guy from India. About last year, they faked a gold dust falling from the sky and angels' feathers falling from the sky and gold gemstones falling from the sky and oils coming from the wall. It's from that Bill Johnson. Yeah. Bill Johnson, and he faked it, and people in India are buying it, and in Goa somebody did the same. And so people started sending me these photos and emails and say, Pastor, what do you think about it? And so I watched it and I said, this is not what the Bible teaches. Bible doesn't teach all these things. Amen. And so what I did is I went and I made a video and I put a YouTube video on the YouTube exposing those false things. And it just went like a wildfire. People in Goa started opening up their eyes and ears and started turning the pages of the Bible to see if it is so. And it's been there for about a year now. But 4 days ago, this man calls me weeping. He says, why did you put my photo there? I said, because you are involved in it. You faked it, you deceived the people, and you just faked everything because they'll put some gold dust in their pocket, and when the people come in, they'll shake their hands. People are not thinking, and in the middle of the service, they'll say, wow, see, God is putting gold dust in you. And look at your face, it's gold dust. And people began to believe this and follow this false. You see, when you don't have the Word of God, you'll believe anything. Right. And if you don't stand for anything, you'll fall for anything. Amen. You need to stand for the Word of God. You need to stand for the truth. And thank God this church stands for that. Amen. And thank God that you have a pastor who stands for the Word of God. And he teaches the Word of God. And the world recognizes that. And one of the reasons I'm here is because of that. Otherwise, who knew? Thank God what God is doing to you guys. You stand strong, and that's what God is doing. I saw this morning, so happy you guys are. You just going around and wishing everybody, hugging everyone, just loving everybody. This is a kind of a little piece of heaven on earth. Heaven is going to be like that when Christians love one another and excited in the house of God. That's what happened. The children of Israel were fruitful and increased abundantly. and multiply it, and waxed exceeding mighty, and the land was filled with them. Now there arose up a new king over Egypt, which knew not Joseph. You know, we all know Charles Spurgeon is called as the Prince of Preacher. And he believed and preached from the King James Bible. Amen. But there was a time that came. When this revised version came, he moved away from the King James Bible to the revised version later on. Now the Bible says, to whom much is given, much will be required of thee. Did you know that after that he moved away from the Word of God to the revised version, he never stepped on the pulpit later? God striked him with gout. He was in his room yelling and shouting and crying and not able to go to the pulpit and preach anymore. I have his letters that he wrote in pain. They put that in a book, and they're selling this book. And I have that book with all his letters, sitting in his room, writing letters of how he's suffering. To whom much is given, much will be required. God has blessed you. God has given you the truth. You stand for the truth. Amen. You don't need to be fall. You don't have to fall for the temptations of the world. Amen. We don't need to be. We are in the world, but we don't want the world to live in us. Sad how that great man could no more go and preach from that pulpit anymore when he went away from the truth. Today there are a lot of people who are compromising. And then they lose the joy of salvation. And God is not going to leave them just like that. So what the New King James Bible does is, it takes away the words from the Bible. They have removed the word Lord 66 times from your Bible. They have removed the word God 51 times from the Bible. I mean, who gave you the right to change the Bible? Amen. The Bible is given so that our life may be changed. That all the wickedness from our life may be removed. But man's life is so wicked, he wants to remove from the Word of God. That's what the new versions do today. They don't know God. They don't know the Lord. And they take away without any fear. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom.
Right. Amen.
But they have no wisdom, so they take out.
Yeah.
They take the word heaven 50 times out of the Bible. Wow. 50 times. They take the word repent 44 times out of the Bible. They don't want to hear about repentance anymore. Give me forgiveness without repentance. I want heaven without repentance. And so we have sin today in churches. They take away the word blood 23 times. 2 plus 3 is 5. Grace. They take away. Satan hates the blood of Christ. And here, hell, they take it out 22 times. And what they want is hate us. You know, many I get this opportunity to go and witness to them, to the Jehovah's Witnesses. And their Bible is just like a toilet paper.
Right.
Yeah. 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 And I get that. I go and witness to them, say, man, if you go and preach all this, you're going to go to hell. They say, no, there's no hell. There's haters. You see, they like that. In fact, their founder, Charles Taze Russell, did not like hell. He was a Presbyterian during the Bible study. He did not like the word hell. So what happened? He moved out of the Presbyterian and he started his own doctrine. He started his own denomination, Jehovah's Witnesses. No hell. No fear of God. They do not know God. A God is a holy God. He cannot compromise with sin. He's a God of just. He's a loving God, but yet he's holy. And a holy God cannot tolerate sin. He's loving, and so he died for your sin so that you have an opportunity to go to heaven with him, to be with him, to live with him forever. But man does not want that. Why? Because of modern Bibles today, new versions, new international version. So if you go to the world today and you share the gospel to anybody and use the modern version and say, you know what, if you don't believe in Jesus Christ, you'll end up in Hades. That person will say, wow, where is it? Is it between America and England? I'd like to go there. But you go and take the Bible and tell, if you don't trust in Jesus Christ, you'll go to hell. You'll make that person either mad, right, glad, or sad. That's what the Bible does. Hell. Even an unbeliever knows what hell is. Because God put that in the heart of every individual. It's a rational intuition that there is a God, there is a heaven, and there is hell. Someone wore a t-shirt. I was born intelligent. Education ruined me. And that's true. Education ruins you. I was on a train one day, and I had a guy sitting opposite to me from Canada in India while we were traveling. And we began to talk, and he said, no, sir, I'm educated. Like, I was sharing him the gospel, preaching the gospel to him. He said, I'm educated. I said, what do you mean? He says, you know, I believe in Big Bang Theory. I believe man came from monkey. I said, is it okay if I call you Mr. Monkey? I said, okay, but is it okay if I call your grandfather to be a monkey? And he gave me that look. You see, man does not want to be called as monkey. Why? Because God did not create you to be a monkey. Amen. God created you a man and a woman.
Right.
Now there arose up a new king over Egypt, which knew not Joseph. And he said unto his people, behold, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we. Do you know why the new versions came out in this world? When God was sending out revival, Satan wanted to destroy that. He saw that God's people are growing mighty and abundantly and being fruitful and exceedingly mighty, and Satan hated that. He said, these people, these Christians, are really growing mighty, and they're going to destroy this world, and all these people who are going to be converted. Because when God brought out the King James Bible, revival broke in. Satan hated it. And so the best thing what Satan could do is bring new versions. And so we have all these 300 new versions out in the market today. Isn't it amazing to know? If you have the old Bible with you, the King James Bible, God thinks, and even the enemy thinks, you are mightier than them. Amen? You are mightier than them. And so what he does is, he starts a Bible college. Verse number 10, look at that. Come on, let us deal wisely with them, lest they multiply and come to pass that when there falleth out any word, they join also unto our enemies and fight against us, and so get them up out of the land. The only way to weaken churches today is to get up and get the words of God out of the Bible. And they want to deal wisely. And how they do it? Bible scholars, PhDs. You know what PhD stands for? Permanent head damage. Permanent head damage. And so they have a Bible colleges today, universities. Their way of dealing is deceptiveness and counterfeit. They had a counterfeit Bibles. And so just because it says Holy Bible does not mean it's holy.
Right.
It is unholy if it is not the King James Bible.
Amen.
If it ain't the King James Bible, it ain't the Bible.
Right.
For the English-speaking world. Come on. Let us deal wisely with them. I remember when I was in the Bible college, that's what was done. Every day, attacking. We walked with our King James Bible to the chapel. We walked with our King James Bible in the classroom, and then things start. But the better translation is, the more accurate word is, and they always attacked the King James Bible. I remember one day going to the office of my vice president, and I said, "Sir, why is it that you always say that? Is the Bible not perfect?" And he said to me this: "There's so many errors in the King James Bible." And I was like, "Oh, you know, he has degrees behind his names. Maybe he's right." But then I started asking more questions. He says, "You know what, if you have too many questions, go and meet the president." And no one dared go to meet the president. We were afraid of him. We can't question him. We were afraid of him. And so I went to my theology teacher and I said, "Sir, if this is the problem, how can I go to the people and tell that this is not God's word? There are errors in it." He said, "No. You don't tell them this is not God's word. You just preach. Don't tell them. You know it, but don't tell them." And the most shameful thing happened in my home when I went from the Bible college. I took my Bible and told my brother and my mom, "You know what? I was thinking I was smart then."
Right.
I told my mom and my brother, "You know what? Yeah, this is Bible, but it contains, this is not the perfect word of God." And this is what my brother said: "Lordson, we are better than you. Because you went to the Bible and you don't believe it. We didn't go to the Bible, but we Bible college, but we believe the Bible."
Amen.
So most of the Bible, 95% of the Bible colleges today has been started so that wise people can get up there and get out the word of God. Come on, let us deal wisely. Which means cunningly, deceptively, subtly. With them, lest they multiply and it come to... That's what happens, dear friends. When you preach from the word of God, souls will get saved. The word of God will spread like a wildfire. Revival will come. The churches will be in the fear of God.
Amen.
And they will be mightier than the world.
Amen.
But Satan hates it. And so he does this. He brings out new Bibles. He brings out new Jesus today. There are many Jesus in the world today. You go to a Catholic. I used to worship another Jesus when I was a Catholic. I worshipped a little cookie in the morning that I thought that it's Jesus that goes in my mouth on Sunday morning, and Sunday evening it's gone. That's what the Jesus. The Jehovah's Witnesses have their own Jesus who is not God. The Mormons have their own Jesus who is not God, where the Father in heaven had sex with Mary and Jesus was born. That's their Jesus. But the Jesus of the Bible is God who was manifest in the flesh. He's the one true God. And so the modern Bibles brings out new Jesus to you.
Right.
True. And so when I witness to a Catholic, what I do is I do not go and directly attack them. I just say, "You have your Bible, isn't it? Shall we check the Bible?" And I ask them to turn their Bible to Acts chapter 8, 37, and they are checking it. And then like they say, read 36, and they read 38. There's no 39, 37.
Right.
And they look at me, I said, "You know what? It's not there." Because your priests do not want you to know that baptism is only after salvation.
Amen.
Because they want to baptize every child and send them to hell with a tag. And then I show Matthew chapter 18 verse 11, Matthew chapter 17 verse 21, and then go on and on. And they're like 16 verses missing out of their Bible. And now their heart is prepared. They know now somebody deceived them. And I say, here the word of God is.
Amen.
And that way I was able to lead many Catholics to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. This book has the power to save souls.
Amen.
This book has the power to bless your family. This book has the power to take sins out of your heart and out of your life. This book. Come on, let us deal wisely with them, lest they multiply. And it come to pass that when there falleth out any war, they join also unto our enemies and fight against us. And so get them up out of the land. So up, out. That's what they do. Go, take your Caesar, cut those words. You don't like hell, let's cut it out. You don't like heaven, cut it out. You don't like Jesus, cut it out. You don't like Jesus manifest in the flesh, cut it out. Out! Aren't you happy you have the perfect word of God today? Amen?
Amen.
Verse number 11. Therefore they did set over them taskmasters, Bible college teachers. Taskmasters. Therefore, they did set over them taskmasters to afflict them. Oh, really? There are a lot of errors in the Bible. It afflicts me. Really, there is a better translation than the King James Bible. It afflicts me. When these taskmasters stood on that pulpit and told me that over and over again for 4 years, it afflicted my soul. Therefore they did set over them taskmasters to afflict them with their burdens. And they built for Pharaoh treasure cities and Pithom and Ramses. Why do they do this? Why many modern Bibles today? Treasures? Many companies? Build their own mansions? It's all for themselves. And that's exactly what the new versions do. That's exactly what churches that does not believe in the Bible and hold on to the modern versions are doing today. That's why the Bible college is started today, to be a taskmaster, to afflict the Bible-believing Christian, to afflict the innocents, so that they can build treasure for themselves. Therefore, they did set over them taskmaster to afflict them with their burdens. And they built for Pharaoh treasure cities, Pithom and Ramses. It's all for treasure cities, personal benefits. Through professors, Bible scholars. They are not Bible scholars. They are scholars in deceiving people. Verse number 12, but the more they afflicted them, but the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied. Amen? You stand. Yes, the world may go towards the hell, but you stand for the word of God. You believe in that King James Bible. You hold on to that word of God. And you preach and you teach.
Amen.
And you will grow mightier than before.
Amen.
But the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied. And I know, I watch Pastor Mike Hoggard on Facebook. And I know people that attack him. I know all that thing. But you know what? You have not given up standing for that book.
Amen.
And you know something? Today when I look, stand here and look at your face, I see that happy face. I see the joy of the Lord on your face. It fills my heart.
Amen.
Because that's what mightiness is.
Amen.
That's what fruitfulness is. The joy of the Lord is my strength. I don't need to go to the gym. It's okay to go to the gym. It's good. Not bad. Physical exercise profited a little. You get little benefits. That's okay. But my great strength comes from the word of God. Because it's honey. It's manna. It's a spiritual food for me.
Amen.
There was a guy who came from, his name is Steve Ray. He came from America to India. He's a Catholic apologist. And he came and he had this 8,000 people in that congregation preaching to the Catholics. And what he did was, in fact, my church members, because it was advertised largely, my church members said, "Pastor, he says he was a Baptist, now became a Christian. We need to go and listen to him." I was not interested. I said, "It's a waste of time." But they said, no, Pastor, we should go and see what he's... Finally, I gave up and we went. And this man started saying, "Hey, you know what? It's not the Bible. It is the communion that is the food for your soul." And he started telling how that when he sees a bishop with his decorated clown vestment, he runs and kneels down and kisses him and worshiping the Blessed Sacrament. And how your sins will be forgiven when you get baptized with the water in a dirty pool. I listened to him for about 60 to 70 minutes. Everything finished. 8,000 people from that big auditorium moving out. I said, "Lord," I had these chick tracks in my pocket. I had taken three tracks. One was The Last Ride. Another was Our Roman Catholic Christians. The third one is Why Mary is Crying. I had it in my pocket. I said, "Lord, I don't want to create any problem here. But I just want to go and give it to him." So this man was going to his car. He had his bodyguards around him. And I'm such a short little fellow. Thin. But I said, "Man, the Lord is with me." Just like David. I ran and I shook his hand and said, "Sir, you're a great orator." He was so happy. He felt happy and said, "Thank you." And I said, "But you lied to these people." His face became red. He was angry with me. He said, "Tell me what did I say? What lies did I say?" I said, "You never talked to them about how their sins can be forgiven by the blood of Christ. You never preached about how to be born again." He said, "Okay, you tell me what is born again. I know John chapter 3. You know what? The devil was put to shame that day. The devil gave me a platform to preach the gospel in the Catholic auditorium. You know, he called all the people and said, 'Hey, come here. Here is a heretic, a madman.' And the group came. The crowd came. He thought they're going to come and bash me and beat me up and kill me. But man, the Spirit of God was all over me that day. I had no idea. Today when I think, I'm scared to death. Because that day I knew it was the Holy Ghost that made that thing. And I was standing there. I lifted up my Bible in my hand. And I preached the Word of God. Preached the gospel for 15 minutes. Not one person came and did anything. Everyone heard the gospel. Amen. Right inside the compound of the Catholic Church. Steve Ray sits in his car and goes, and the bodyguards comes and pushes me to the van that we came in. God just had a hold of me. The next day, Steve Ray goes to Mumbai to another city to preach. And he says, "I preached all over India, coming from America. I never had any problem, but I went to Goa. There was one man who had a problem with me." You stand with the King James Bible, God is saying he's going to make you mightier than them. Amen. You don't have to fear the devil. The devil will fear you, dear friend. Amen. And every time he hears the pages, turns of the Bible, it gives a headache to the devil. Amen. And heaven rejoices. Amen. Verse number 12, "But the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew. And they were grieved because of the children of Israel." Oh, these Bible-believing Christians. They're such a pain to us. That's what? That's a good compliment. Amen? You've got to be somebody who is a pain to the apostates. They should fear you. Oh, there he's coming. He's making another video. There's Pastor Mike online. Yep. They should scared the hell out of them. Verse number 13. "And the Egyptians made the children of Israel to serve with rigor. 14 says, and they made their lives bitter with hard bondage and mortar and in brick and in all manner of service in the field. And all their service wherein they made them serve was with rigor. And that's what the New King James Version does. That's what New Versions does. Sometimes it makes our life bitter and hard. Because we start looking at the worldly church. It says, look, pastor, look. Look at them. They use the modern new versions. And look, they have thousands of people. Like, it's hard for us. But it's okay. God is not in quantity. He is about the quality. Heaven is smaller than hell, by the way. Because the way to heaven is narrow. But the way to hell is broad. In fact, in the Bible says, and she has expanded, opened her mouth. She stands at the gate to invite the people to hell. Wow. Yes, they make our life hard. But it's okay. This can be hard for us. It's beautiful up there. Amen. It's beautiful up there. You fight this battle. You cast your burden upon the Lord Jesus Christ. All ye that labor and are heavy burden, come unto me, and I will give you rest, the Lord Jesus said. Amen. Cast your burden unto Jesus, for he careth for you. Don't be afraid of them. Stand strong. Verse 15, and the new king and the king of Egypt spake to the Hebrew midwife. That's a problem now. This is what modern versions do. Look at that. And the king of Egypt spake to the Hebrew midwives, of which the name of the one was Sifra, and the name of the other Puah. I hope I'm pronouncing right. And he said, when you do the office of a midwife to the Hebrew women and see them upon the stools, if it be a son, then ye shall kill him. But if it be a daughter, then she shall live. The modern Bibles don't want men to be up there on the pulpit and preach the word of God. They want to kill every man. They want to bring women on the pulpit to preach the word of God. And so they want to kill the man. And they want to keep the woman alive. Now we want the woman to be alive to play music. We want the women to be alive to bear children. God loves women. Amen? And we love you. And you are such a special gift to us. But God has a place for everybody. God has given a responsibility to every person. In our church, we have a woman who leads the singing. In our church, we have a woman who teaches our children. In our churches, there is a woman who does administration work. But women don't preach in our church. Amen. And women don't preach on this pulpit. Amen. But the modern Bibles, they kill the man, yeah. They keep the woman alive. And so we have today, Paula White, Joyce Meyer, they destroy. But that's what a new King James Version and a new International Version and a new American Standard Version and a new Jerusalem Bible and a Message Bible NIV and HIV and all that thing. Amen. I was nervous, but man, I'm enjoying it. It's not easy to stand here when thousands of people of the world following your pastor's message. It's a big burden to stand here. Thank God. He made me feel easy. Thank you, Pastor. Love you. And he said, when you do the office of a midwife to the Hebrew women and see them upon the stools, if it be a son, then ye shall kill him. But if he be a daughter, then she shall leave. Satan is now, with his new version, destroying man and brings woman in the pulpit against God. You know, if you read Isaiah chapter 4, verse number 1, you know what the Bible says? That's what is going to happen. The more modern versions are going to come into this world, and you know what is going to happen? If you men don't stand for the word of God, soon Isaiah 4, verse number 1, is going to come to pass. Let's read what Isaiah chapter 4 verse 1 says. The Bible says, and in that day seven women shall take hold of one man. Because there will be less men and more women. Right. Saying, we will eat our own bread and wear our own apparel. Only let us be called by thy name to take away our reproach. Modern Bibles are making leaders of women and making men effeminate today. Right. It's not only in America today, even India has bought this lie. Just January 27th, we had the first same-sex parade in Goa. Everything was a secret. Even today, my mom does not even know that there is something called same-sex marriage. She has no idea about what it is. And we don't have TV, so she has no idea. And I don't talk to her about it because she does not know. But look what's happening. Young people getting on the street, having a parade, taking the symbol of God's covenant for their benefit. Verse number 17. Now this is about you, ladies. But the midwives feared God. Amen. If you are a woman who believes the word of God, this is all about you. You submit to your husband. You support your husband. You love your husband. You exalt the Lord Jesus Christ. You magnify the Bible. That's what Psalm 138 says, verse number 2. Thou hast magnified thy word above all thy names. Amen. God's word is magnified. But the midwives feared God. There are others who rebelled against God. And we see them on the pulpit today. Like Joyce Meyer. Paula White. And so many other ladies out there. Rebelling against God's word. Rebelling against God-ordained authority. And by the way, what your pastor said today. God-ordained faith must be tested over and over and over and over again. And that is same with your marriage, that same with your faith, that same with your church. Yeah. In our marriage, we go through every test and we overcome by the grace of God. God ordained marriage, God ordained faith, God ordained love ought to be tested to be made stronger and firmer to bring glory and honor to God. But the midwives feared God and did not as the king of Egypt commanded. We are not going to obey the authority if they are going to go against the word of God. We're going to stand for the word of God. We're going to obey what God says to us. But the midwives feared God and did not as the king of Egypt commanded them, but saved the man children alive. Amen. Husband, you're the head of my family. Amen. Pastor, you are the preacher. That's what God said. And godly woman obeys that and says yes, amen to that. Amen. They saved the man child. You know, if you all ladies were rebellious, if you all ladies just obeyed all these modern versions, this church would have been a mess today. Right. Thank God for you ladies that you submitted yourself to the word of God. Amen. That you love and magnify the word of God. And that you are submissive to your husband. And you love your preacher and say, Pastor, not me, you go there and preach the word of God. Amen. That's what God's women do. That's the woman of God does. Amen? But the midwives feared God and did not as the king of Egypt commanded them, but saved the man children alive. Verse number 18. And the king of Egypt called for the midwives and said unto them, why have ye done this thing and have saved the man children alive? And the midwife said unto the Pharaoh, because the Hebrew women, that those who believe the word of God, that those who believe the old King James Bible, because the Hebrew women are not as the Egyptian women. Now you know those two lines of manuscript. You know the Antiochian manuscript and the Alexandrian manuscript. You know the Alexandrian manuscripts comes from the Egypt. They are Egyptian women. Now our life comes from Jesus Christ, a Hebrew man.
Right.
Now we are happy with Jesus Christ. We are happy with the Word of God. With the Antiochian manuscript. The King James Bible that we are holding in our hands this morning.
Right.
And the lady said, and the midwife said unto Pharaoh, because the Hebrew women are not as the Egyptian women. Amen?
Amen.
Can I hear an amen from the ladies here? All the ladies, amen?
Amen.
Amen. All the men, amen?
Amen.
Amen. And the midwife said unto Pharaoh, because the Hebrew women are not as the Egyptian women, for they are lively. Turn around and look at the ladies. They're lively this morning. Amen. Now, sometimes I say, but you have no idea, Pastor, I'm suffering physically. Yeah, my outward man may perish, but I'm renewed within every day.
Yeah.
Once you hit your 35 and 40, you start getting pains. But within, you're renewed day by day.
Amen.
That's what we are talking about here. Amen?
Amen?
The midwife said unto the Pharaoh, because the Hebrew women are not as the Egyptian women, for they are lively and are delivered ere the midwives come in unto them. Therefore God, when you obey God, when you are submissive to God's word, when you do what God's word says, even if you don't understand, you know what God never said? The just shall live by understanding. God said the just shall live by faith. I don't understand everything from this Bible, but I believe it. And that's what God gets glory from. You're called to believe. You're called to have faith in God's word, even when you don't understand. You know what Deuteronomy chapter 29 verse 29 says? Let's read that for you today. Next time you don't understand, don't worry about not understanding. Read it, study it, ask the Holy Spirit to teach you. You know, and when it is right, He will teach you, but you believe it. You never doubt it. Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 29 says, the secret thing belong unto the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong unto us. Amen?
Amen.
The things that are revealed to you, that belongs to you, you be happy and you obey that and you follow that. Don't worry about the things that you don't understand. What should be worried about is the things that you understand. And you have faith in it, and you believe it, and you uphold this truth. You give me an NIV, I won't be able to preach this way. Where the word of the king is, there is
power.
Amen? And so what God does is, verse number 20, Exodus chapter 1. Therefore, God dealt well with the midwife. And the people multiplied and waxed very mighty.
Amen.
And it came to pass, because the midwives feared God, that He made them houses. Amen. You know, my dear friends, you stand with the word of God, you fear God. God says, therefore, God dealt well with them.
Amen.
And He built house for them. He'll protect you. He'll put an edge of protection around you. You stand for the word of God. If you're happy this morning because of the word of God and because of the Lord Jesus Christ, say amen.
Amen.
That's what God does, dear friend. He'll make you fruitful. He'll multiply you exceedingly. Once again, I will read what happens under the old King James Bible. And the children of Israel were fruitful. Under the old King James Bible, they increased abundantly. Under the old King James Bible, they multiplied and waxed exceeding mighty, and the land was filled with them. You know what happened in 1611? You know what happened in those old good days when every church believed in this book?
Amen.
What happened to America?
Right.
And then the modern Bibles came and people are in bondage today. This book will make you free. It will not set you free. It will make you free. There's a lot of difference. He shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free, Jesus said. He never said set you free. The modern Bible says set you free. You know what the difference between a make you free and a set you free is? Set you free is, okay, nice, made you free. You're gone. I don't care. Make you free is he makes you. You are in his hand. He loves you. He takes care of you. He's fashioning you. And you're still with him. And he walks with you. And he talks with you. And he calls you. You are my own. Amen. Amen. May the Lord add many more blessings in your life as you stand for the word of God. As you uphold this book. And you never compromise. And you love God. You love your church. You love your pastor. Anyone speak against your pastor, you put them inside a sandwich, make a hamburger. You love your pastor. Amen? God bless you. Thank you, Pastor.